And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's this one, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, and folks, before I go to the phones here, let me just tell you, you hear the advertising playing during the break? And that's there for a reason, obviously. That's part of what supports the program. If you hear that and you think, man, those guys on Right Side, they got it going on. I want my business lined up with them because we speak the way you speak and we think the way you think. We'd love to have you. Right Side Radio is a standalone business. I mean, we are not owned by the stations we're on. We send them our show. But the only way we can sustain that is by selling ads. And so one of the ways you do that is not by contacting the station. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Go to rightsideradio.org, click on the advertising tab, send us an email, and we will get back to you right away. Love to have you on the team. Advertise at Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org, and we'll fix you up. I'm going to go to the phones right now. I understand that Emily from Moms for Liberty in Madison County is on the phone with an update for us. Emily, how you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
You sound like you're doing wonderful. You must have some more good news.
I got wonderful news.
Tell us all about it.
So we have worked it out with the library that we will host our event tomorrow at the library.
Nice.
We're going to do one big session at the library. We're going to cap that at 225 just because of fire code policy. We got to be compliant.
Okay.
So the first 225 that get to the library will be in the book reading event that takes place there that morning.
Okay.
Anyone beyond the 225 will be at a second location. We're still working out those final details on that right now, so we'll share that quickly. But anybody that goes to the secondary location, we'll just route you over there. There will be some entertainment for the kids to kind of participate so they're not sitting around while they're waiting. But the good news is that Kirk and Riley will be at both locations.
Oh. So
even if you end up being in the second location, you're not going to get anything left. You're going to have to wait a little bit. But at least you'll be indoors, dry, because I think it may rain tomorrow. So you'll be comfortable, but you'll still get the full show of Kirk and Riley reading to the kids.
Well, that is awesome. And congratulations to you, Emily. I mean, this has really been something to watch and to hear you talk about. I mean, you guys have really not only stuck it out and hung in there, but I think you've also rallied up a community that is going to wind up having a bigger turnout than would have ever had you not been able to just stick it out like you have. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. We're excited about the event. We're excited to see everybody tomorrow. I think we're going to have an amazing turnout beyond what we could have ever expected, because originally we aimed for 30 people because we thought this would be a small, simple little thing. So God really showed out, and we're just super excited to be able to bring this opportunity to our community and to our family.
Well, at Right Side, we are super excited for you. And so just to clarify again, tomorrow morning, Madison Public Library, first 225 people, the doors open at 10 a.m. or they be open sooner?
The library opens at 9:30.
Okay.
So thank you. That's a good clarification. So we are scheduled to start story hour at 10 o'clock at the library. We're going to stick with that. We will do a Ben Carson book titled Why America Matters, which is a fabulous kids book.
Yeah.
We will start with that. We'll do the pledge. We'll do some singing. We'll have some fun entertainment. Kirk and Riley will arrive shortly after that, and then Kirk will read his book. Riley will read her book. Kirk will lead us in God Bless America. We'll do some videos and some photos, and then he will head from there to the secondary location. We'll run down that exact same agenda.
Well, that's perfect, and we really appreciate you giving us a heads up here. Our audience has already been curious. We even had somebody call right before you did and said, what do we know? And so anyway, I think the Right Side Ruffians are showing up for the Moms for Liberty tomorrow. So Emily,
I love it.
Thank you so much for what you're doing, and stay in the fight and keep us posted. All right.
Well, thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Emily. Take care. Well, that's just good news. Boom. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's America right there. I mean, that is absolutely the way it's supposed to be.
America. I like it.
America.
America.
Just America. Here, hold my beer.
That's right.
Nice. All right. Well, anyway, there it is. Okay. I tell you what, I'm going to be switching to another dipper here in a minute, but I just, apparently I get distracted lately. We had the whole Arlington Cemetery thing earlier on. And by the way, Boomer, being the whiz man that he is, went straight to our website, rightsideradio.org. If you didn't hear it at the beginning of the show, I found online accidentally, just kind of stumbled across it, that Arlington National Cemetery, our national cemetery, is actually calling for public comment right now on the removal of the large, beautiful Confederate monument in the middle of Arlington National Cemetery. They want public commentary because I'm sure they believe that the congressional action that took place that caused the renaming of bases and everything else in some way implies that they are supposed to remove that thing from a cemetery. It's like removing a gravestone, in my opinion. This is a monument to the dead, which, by the way, was put in place over 109 years ago, and it's there. It's a reconciliation. It's a restoration. It's a healing monument. It's not to say, here, we're thumbing our nose at you because we're racist and we don't want you to ever forget that we were here fighting for our racism. That's not what this is. Anyway, that's on the website, rightsideradio.org, at the top of the page in the banner on the right side. You can click on it. It takes you to the place, if you want to, where you can provide your commentary on how you feel about them taking down monuments at cemeteries. So there's that. The next one, before we go to the break, that just blows my mind. So we've been talking some lately about, should there be age limits on people who run for public office? Now, I will tell you, in Alabama, you age out at the age of 70 to be a judge. If you're currently in office, you can finish out a term. Like if you got elected at 68 and you had a six-year term, you could serve to your 74, technically, if I'm not mistaken. But the reality is we already have some offices in which age limits are imposed. I don't know why that's there. It just is. But what we're looking at right now is Dianne Feinstein is 90 years old, does not know where she is some days, is to the point that she does not even look, she looks like a cadaver. And I'm not saying that to be hypercritical. I'm just telling you, she does not look well. She does not act well. She does not make decisions well. The other day, she didn't understand how to vote. How long has she been in Congress or in the Senate? Well, we just learned that Dianne Feinstein has given power of attorney to her daughter to handle her personal affairs. But she's still in the Senate. If you can't handle your own affairs, now there's one thing to say, I gave POA to somebody because I'm traveling abroad and they need to be able to sign papers for me. Or I have a POA in place in case something happens, they can act on my behalf. I'm an attorney. I draft POAs, powers of attorney, all the time. But if you're a sitting senator and you have ceded control of your personal life to someone else by power of attorney because you're not able to do those things on your own, then I'm pretty sure you shouldn't still be in the Senate. Just going to lay that out there for public consumption. Let me see what kind of text messages I got before I go to the break, and then we'll come back and start the next dipper. Scott from Athens, regarding the conversation we had with Stephanie Smith, says, I'd like for all political contributions from organizations, businesses outright banned. Cap individual contributions to $1,000. A CEO is an individual, thus still has individual rights, but if a company needs to lobby, they can come to the State House floor for all of us to see. I know, it's going to be tough, man. There have been lawsuits about this, but... But yeah, to hang in there, man. We're going to see where this goes. Got a brand new texter in there. I see you already put them in. LT from Tony. LT from Tony, you are in the string, man. I don't know if LT is a man or a woman. Hey, LT. I'm not even going to ask for their pronouns, though. I'm not going to do that.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing
don't
it. Do it. JT Lacey Springs. We got to chuckle a little bit about the Madison Library's actions. It caused more smoke than a carton of Marlboros. They got lit up. Allison from Madison says, what happened to In God We Trust and Freedom and Justice for All? It's still in my book. Jenny from Decatur, what is Stephanie's last name? How can she be contacted so that we can get all the information she just shared regarding the AEA? So Jenny, great question. That's Stephanie Smith. She's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. You can find them at alabamapolicy.org. I used to be on staff there, too, before we started the radio show. but alabamapolicy.org, and she said that probably by this afternoon they will have that new information up about how many people have collected money from the AEA. So thanks, Jenny. Great question. Jeff from Indiana. he's still out doing his honeydews. He's at the Dollar Tree. So hang on, brother. It's going to be good. Badger from Athens telling us happy Friday. Thank you, Badger. We appreciate you. David from Huntsville wants to know, did we play an NEA audio of a screaming NEO? I know the one he's talking about. And no, I don't want to play that on my show, David. I'd lose listeners over that one. Brand new in the text string, Shanna from Jemison, Alabama. We're getting on down south there, aren't we? Jemison, down yonder in Jemison. We're glad to have you, Shanna. Thank you so much. Tyler from Huntsville talking about the rocket. Yeah, the rocket's being dismantled, y'all. Just by the way, the rocket up there at the rest stop at I-65 and the Tennessee line, the rocket is being dismantled. The engines are now gone. Article that I had in my stack earlier I didn't get to said that they plan to have the whole thing down by October, I believe. Ike from Somerville, the Madison Fire Marshal would definitely be able to confirm capacity if they would. Yeah, you know what? I think they finally figured that out. Thank you, Ike. Sully from Harvest. What time is the event on Saturday? You may have just heard it a moment ago. Tomorrow, Moms for Liberty, Kirk Cameron, Brave Books, Riley Gaines, 10 a.m., Madison Public Library. First 225 people there. Doors open at 9:30. Alternate location will be made available with the exact same agenda with the same celebrity guests. So even if you get there and you can't come in because they capped it at 225 people, they have an alternate location they'll be pointing you to, and you'll get just as much there. All right, folks, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break. I'm jumping to number two on the Triple Dipper. Live Free or Die, Second Amendment, Friday afternoon. We'll talk about it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Listen, we're moving to number two on the Triple Dipper here. Live Free or Die, Second Amendment. Second Amendment. So the Bill of Rights, when it was enacted, it was done, by the founders with great intent, massive forethought. And the idea that those were just written for their time is just not true. I can just tell you, as an attorney, constitutional liberties have maintained and stood the test of time for a reason. For over 200 and what? How many years? 200 and where are we? 240 years? We have had, actually, no more than 230 with the Constitution itself and the Bill of Rights. We have had the ability for those to be amended out if we wanted to. But I want to say that there's only been 27 amendments in the entire history of the United States, and the first 10 are known as the Bill of Rights. And they are there for a reason. And they are there with great, great forethought. And the idea that they were, like Biden said, they never anticipated that you'd have weapons like we have nowadays. Yes, they did. That was not the point. The point was that we would not be disarmed. The point was that we would also not be curtailed in our ability to speak or to worship freely or have the opportunity for freedom of association, have a free press, a Second Amendment, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, the rights to due process, the state sovereignty, the ability for states, if not otherwise preempted by federal law, to enact laws to the benefit of their own citizens. And so all this to say, liberals hate the Constitution. Liberals believe that it should be a living, breathing document that changes with the whims of time. If you do that, then there is no principle. Principles are bedrocks. If you look at the Constitution, if you look at the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, and you say, those are meant to be flexing with the whims of society. Well, if that's the case, then nothing is grounded. If that's the case, then we are as fluid as you can be. And folks, I'm just telling you, they did not intend it to be that way. The Constitution is designed to be immutable. It can only be amended by clear and concise acts of the legislative body and ratified by the states. Period. That's why they've existed so long. And liberals hate it. And so they are constantly doing what they can to abridge those freedoms. Well, the Second Amendment is the one. I mean, I don't know which one gets under their skin more. They've been so sneaky in the last, you know, few years, especially with social media censorship and trying so hard to abridge our ability to think, reason, or make a statement that they don't approve of. So maybe the First Amendment is the one that's gotten the most. Then there's, you know, freedom of religion. Well, you can't have a prayer in a public school. Well, you can't. Okay. Well, we're going to wind up having prayer at a public library come up here tomorrow morning in Madison and 266 other libraries around the nation. Awesome. But the Second Amendment just literally gets under their skin like you would not believe. So let's talk about some of the ways they've been most recently trying to curtail the Second Amendment. First of all, they come at it with regulation. It's usually done by executive fiat. They know they can't get there in the law, so they go at it, and they wind up saying things like, how about this? A pistol brace now becomes illegal. A U.S. regulation restricting ownership of gun accessories known as pistol braces is likely illegal, a federal appeals court ruled on Tuesday. So this week, August 1st of this week, and it's not making many waves, because the Biden administration knew when they did it that it wasn't going to last. They thought they had a thing going on. They issued the rule through the ATF, and they wanted you to just like suck it up and say nothing. And yet people said something. And so a 3-member panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals found that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives finalized their rule in January without giving the public a meaningful chance to comment. And that made it invalid under the Administrative Procedures Act. What basically happened was they tried to be Congress without being Congress. This happens a lot with bureaucrats. It also happens a lot with liberals. But the court did not immediately block the rule. They just sent it back to the district judge who had allowed it to go forward and gave them basically handed it back with instructions. And the judge is now going to have to deal with it. Well, the bottom line is a pistol brace is nothing. It's a piece of plastic that all it does is take a short-barreled rifle or a pistol for that matter that you attach a brace to that was originally designed to allow handicapped individuals the ability to hold their weapon. They tried to classify that as having made it a short-barreled rifle, which is one of the firearms that is governed by the American Firearms Act. And the ATF said, well, we're going to have to do away with that. It was the most ridiculous overreach, and it's not working. And a Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals has said, nope, not going to have it. How about this one? All of y'all out there that are frequent gun stores, which, by the way, I can usually just kind of wander through a gun store and just stay there and get lost for a while. Second Amendment group files a lawsuit against the ATF, again, the ATF, over zero-tolerance policies for closing gun stores. So the ATF, in another attempt to curtail civil liberties without being Congress, has decided they will have a no-tolerance policy. And they'll also do random audits of your books, and you better not have a mistake. There's not a need to prove willful intent. They just have a zero-tolerance policy. And so here's what happens. Gun Owners of America filed suit, story here on Fox News, in the last 30 days. 3 weeks ago, actually. Gun Owners of America filed suit against the ATF over the agency's rigid inspection guidelines for federal firearms licensees that makes it so much easier for them to revoke a gun store's federal license. Oh, yeah, they are. They're shutting down small businesses and telling them, well, we found a mistake in your paperwork. We don't like it, so we're shutting you down without further ado. Well, they're not standing for it. I'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three. How did that happen? Hour number three already. By the way, just going to keep refreshing this in case you're just getting in the car for go home time on a Friday afternoon and you're wondering what's happened with the Madison Public Library event for Moms for Liberty. Kurt Cameron, Riley Gaines, Brave Books, reading faith, family, and freedom books to kids. Well, that is on. It is back on. It is. I don't think it was ever truly off, but the fact is they have worked out an agreement. So kudos to them, and kudos to local officials who got involved and said, we're going to make this work. And they did cap the attendance at 225 in the library itself, but fear not, because the doors open at 9:30. The event starts at 10 a.m., if you don't get there and are able to actually get inside the library itself, because they will cap it, then just know this. They have a second alternate location at a nearby church, and they said that Riley Gaines and Kurt Cameron will be there to read books at both locations. So even if you go to the library and you can't get in, they'll direct you where to go, and the celebrities will be down the road sooner than later to attend both events. So anyway, Just stay tuned. If we hear anything more, we'll let you know. But we're really thankful for Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty for calling in a little while ago and updating us on the status of that whole near debacle. I mean, it was just such a goat rope. I mean, it was. I mean, for the love, people, someone at that library is hating life right now, and I hope the library board is going to have a review of their policy making decisions sometime soon. And somebody also needs to question. So, how is it that you had a sign, library people, hanging on the wall that said that the max occupancy was 361, but on the day you canceled it, you put a new sign over the top of that one that lowered it to 300? How did that happen? Pray tell. Who did this? What was their actual intent? Good Lord. Did you think nobody would find out? Okay. It just makes you laugh. All right, hey, listen, I was talking before the break. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, Live Free or Die. Live Free or Die, Second Amendment. I gave you a little spiel there on the value of the Bill of Rights and why the Constitution, if you are a strict constructionist, someone who believes in originalism, that the Constitution was written as it was written and it is not changed, and you do not mold it or remake it to fit the whims of your current level of society. I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, we would have wound up seeing any number of things that would have been wrong, now considered right. And I'm just saying, you can't have a principle if it's going to blow with the wind. Second Amendment being a classic example. Liberals hate the Second Amendment. Hate it. Well, right now, they are going at it in every single way they can. Here's one of the latest. Gun shops. The places where you acquire your firearms, correct? Gun shops. There are regulations, I get it. Federal firearms licensees, FFLs, they can be revoked. Well, I get it if it's being revoked for cause, like good cause, like we're going to remove your ability to make a living cause because you did something egregious or you refused to correct it once we recognized an error. But what we found now is the ATF has decided to come in and have what they call a zero tolerance policy. So Gun Owners of America, the GOA, has now filed suit against the ATF as of about 3 weeks ago. The GOA filed the lawsuit called Morehouse Enterprises versus the ATF following the first lawsuit that was filed by a North Dakota gun store, Morehouse Enterprises. The new lawsuit pushes back on the ATF's targeting of Morehouse, who owns a gun shop, for his FFL license revocation under the new zero tolerance policy. The bottom line is this. The ATF visited Morehouse and his store. After their initial lawsuit, they found five violations out of 5,000 that they reviewed. Five. That's quite the healthy percentage if you get down to it. and they are now suspending his gun store license. Five paperwork issues, like if somebody wrote it down wrong or left a blank accidentally on the form or didn't record it correctly or didn't record it timely enough, like, you know, something happens and you had to run out because your kid was sick or whatever else and you forgot to file that document with the ATF. Well, all said and done, zero tolerance is just another way to try and abridge the Second Amendment. And zero tolerance is also a way to crush a small business. That's ridiculous. And that's bureaucracy. And that's, by the way, not what's intended. How about this one? 3 weeks ago, story about the NRA put this one out. Indianapolis City Council attacking the Second Amendment. Indianapolis. This is a major U.S. city. Indianapolis City Council passed a proposed gun control measure. By the way, don't think for a second, y'all, that who runs for local office doesn't matter. Don't think for a second that who's the mayor of your small town doesn't matter. Who's on your city council? Who's your county commissioner? Because they can do things even at the local level that if they get enough umbrage, they'll go for it. Case in point, big city, but yet the Illinois City and County Council passed a proposed gun control measure by a vote of 18-5. Mayor Hogsett and the City County Council are focused on disarming law-abiding citizens. The ordinance discriminates against young adults aged 18 to 20, prohibiting them from buying firearms. Let me get this straight. You can join the military at 18 without parental consent, but you can no longer buy a firearm in the city of Indianapolis. But you could drive outside the city of Indianapolis, maybe go right across the border to Kentucky, and you could buy one there. Huh. So what happens, I guess I'm curious, what happens if you step outside of Indianapolis to a gun shop right on the border and buy one at the age of 19 and then drive back into Indianapolis? Are you in violation at that point? It's ridiculous. They also ended constitutional carry and they banned several semi-automatic firearms. They're a city council. Don't think liberals won't attack you at every level. How about then you go to state? How about NRA put this one out, end of April, Colorado governor signs four anti-Second Amendment bills into law. Attention, NRA members, Second Amendment supporters, Governor Polis in Colorado has disregarded the voices of concerned citizens who oppose gun control, signed four bills. He instituted new waiting periods for firearms, because that always helps. He has a removal of liability protections for manufacturers and sellers. I'll explain that in a minute. He's denying young adults the right to purchase firearms and he expanded red flag confiscation schemes. All right, two things in there you got to know and watch out for. When you remove the liability protections, what you're saying there is because a gun was used in a crime, the company that made the gun is now liable. That's what it's saying. You're literally extending, it's called an extended manufacturer's liability doctrine. What you're doing there is you are saying that, hey, you made that car and we had a wreck. What was wrong with the car? Well, nothing, but you made the car and we had a wreck. So why are you suing Ford? Were you drunk? Was there any error on the part of the driver? Did something happen with the car? No, but you made it. That's what we're talking about with firearms. Hey, Ruger, you made that pistol, and it was used in a crime. Hey, Smith & Wesson, whoever, pick your manufacturer. And then sellers, that's the other thing. You sold that firearm. I did. I have the paperwork for it. We did everything right. No. You sold the firearm. Yes, but we did it right. That doesn't matter. He had a firearm, and he bought it from you. You're now liable. That's like going to the bar and saying, did you sell alcohol? We're a bar. But the guy drank alcohol, and then he got in his car. Yes, but we didn't serve him too much. I mean, what are you asking? Well, you served alcohol, and we had a wreck, so we're saying that you're liable. He had a designated driver. We didn't. What are you talking? He switched seats later on, but you served him the alcohol. That's what we're doing here. The seller and the manufacturer, all they're trying to do is they're trying to crush the industry in order to crush the Second Amendment. And then the last one before we go to the break is this. Red flag confiscation schemes. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you better watch out for this because the Biden administration, in one of the big spending bills this past year, passed massive amounts of money to help states implement what they call red flag laws. What that means is this. they get to decide what's a red flag. If you have a red flag by your name, they can curtail your ability to procure, secure, or maintain firearms in your possession. Like what? You ever been treated for anxiety? What do you mean? Do you take, Prozac? Not anymore. Oh, you used to take it? Well, you no longer. You have a red flag now. We don't think that it's a good idea for you to have a firearm. But I'm fine. That doesn't matter. You had a diagnosis in the past. What about this? Did you commit a misdemeanor as a youthful offender? Well, that's supposed to be a sealed record. I don't know. We think that's a red flag. But it was nonviolent. I was a shoplifting as a 16-year-old on a dare. Doesn't matter. I smoked marijuana in college. Doesn't matter. I mean, the things that they're legalizing and the things they're trying to criminalize is just so backwards. And so all I'm saying is this. Red flag laws and manufacturer's liability doctrines are literally in complete opposition to what the founders meant when they put these Second Amendment in place. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. In the meantime, text it on in if you want to. We'll see what you got to say. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be conservative on a Friday afternoon near go-home time right now. Let me just tell you before we do anything, though, weekends, you know, have you ever had your kid get sick on a weekend? You're like, holy cow, now what do we do? Well, let me just tell you, Southern Immediate Care, one of our newest sponsors on the show, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all around North Alabama. They got them in Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care opens 7 days a week, extended hours in most locations. I mean, their newest locations are in Chelsea and Hoover. But folks, they'll take all ages. So I'm talking pediatric to geriatric. They will take you in. They can do x-rays and immunizations on site. And I'll just be honest with you. This is who Charlene and I use. Southern Immediate Care in our area is exactly where we go. And Boomer, I think you said you actually took a little man over there just the other day.
We did.
Not that we're out here violating HIPAA by telling all this stuff, but the reality is, yeah. So Southern Immediate Care. And if you go for the first time, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Just go look them up online. Find the location nearest you. They are there 7 days a week, ready to serve. Southern Immediate Care, and we're glad to have them on the Right Side team. I got a caller held on during the break, so let me jump over to the phones real quick. Alan from Hartsell. Alan, how you doing?
I'm upright and breathing again.
There you go. What's up?
Okay. Now, they threw such a fit in Connecticut about the guns there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you got CVA, which is Connecticut Valley Arms, Harrington Richmond, Remington. They all packed up and moved, got out of that area.
That's
They're
right.
They're not in business there anymore. Okay. And if they don't, if these liberal people in Congress don't understand, maybe we need to get somebody like Trey Gowdy or Mark Levine to go up there and sit them down and explain it to them. Explain it to them. Say, okay, this is the way it reads. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And maybe they could understand it then.
Well,
liberal, you can't explain that to them.
I'd be honest with you. I don't think they want the explanation. The reality is, They've got their viewpoint. They don't want somebody to tell them anything different, and they're just gonna hunker down and stick with it. I think
that's the kind of folks that need to be. You know, if they don't understand the law, they need to pack up and be gotten rid of. I mean, that's the simplest way I know to put it.
All right.
Have a great weekend and a great day, bud.
All right, Alan. We'll see you, man. Tell you what, I'll jump over here to the text messages here. I feel certain the Second Amendment got some of them in here. Bev from Madison, red flag laws. Does that mean politicians can be held liable for laws they enact or executive orders and those laws do harm to someone, i.e. property damage, bodily harm from illegal immigrants? You know, I wish, but they don't consider those red flags, unfortunately, Bev, but I get what you're saying. Jeff from Hazel Green. Imagine the thought that went into the writing of the Constitution. Those folks who wrote it had an uncanny foresight. They were honestly looking out for America. That's Jeff from Hazel Green. You are so right. Rich from Huntsville is he's determined that I'm a Nazi now. The text messages are so out of control. Calling me a grand wizard. Claims he doesn't like white folk, but I'm the problem. Okay. That makes great sense, Rich. Appreciate you, man. Tell the Jews go erect their Nazi monuments for healing. Okay, that's what's happening here. John from Huntsville, you need to write a song about guns titled "No Gun Law." Try that in a small town. You should also get Jason Aldean to sing it. Yeah, then I could get the royalties off a number one song. How about that?
Nice.
Brian from Huntsville, issue a recall on the drunk or the shooter. What's he saying to me? I don't know what's happening here. Says remove a gun shop license. Yeah, if you sold a firearm to Hunter Biden. Raven from Russellville again. Only the libtards can understand that our rights are not granted by the government. The Constitution only affirms rights that we already have. That's a great point, Russell, as always. JT Lacey Springs, Biden's comment, Constitution doesn't account for today's weapons. I believe more applicable, it doesn't account for today's elected officials. Otherwise, it would be a cacistocracy. Or a jackassery amendment. A jackassery amendment. How about that? Nice. Tom from Graham, or is it Tom Graham? I don't know which that is. Our founding fathers knew about machine guns. Look up the puckle gun. So there is history there. You are correct. Steve from Tennessee. Cain killed Abel with a rock. David killed Goliath with a rock. The problem is not the rock. Steve from Tennessee. He's always so concise. I mean, like, bam, bam, bam. Done. Point made. Moving on. Kenny from Huntsville. The vast majority of Confederate soldiers were not fighting for slavery, but instead their homes or families. I'm not saying they were right or wrong, but do recognize their tenacity and that thousands died for their beliefs. One can surely disagree with their logic and cause, but almost acknowledge their sacrifice. Kenny from Huntsville. All right. I tell you what. We're about to take a break here in a minute. We come back. I've got some Bidenomics, but I've also got... And we may have to end on this. It just cracks me up. In the spirit of the fact that we're looking at all of the goat roping that went on this week around the whole thing in Madison Public Library. Well, I've got something that I just pulled off of the Brave Books website and put out also by the Babylon Bee. The 8 ways you can tell that your library has gone woke, and it's a hoot. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back for the final half hour of the week.